Okay, folks, we'll bring the Conference Committee Agreement hearing to order on Senate File 878. And here's how we'll operate tonight. What we'll do is, well, first of all, Senator Lance and I got together with the staff and come to an agreement on both the budget implications and the policy. And so that's what we're going to run through now. I'll first have research go through the... Did we start first with the finance so we can get you upstairs and working on... We can start with finance with Mr. Wells and run through the finance. And then I encourage you, if you've got any questions on the finance, ask them when Mr. Wells is here, because when he's done, we'd like to release him to get upstairs and start working on the final.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Question for you. I did hear the chair just talk about what is going to be the roadmap that you want to use today, which is to go through the finance budget and then shift to policy, is my understanding. Is that right, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Chair.
All right. May I have a follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Chair.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to the bill even before we get there, is because it's been my understanding, and perhaps Senator Lass would like to update us as to why we are having both a finance and a policy bill together, when it's been the Senate's position to keep the finance and the policy separate and not to have them together. And that's been something that has been stated by our Senate leadership. That's been something that's been stated for quite some time. And one of the reasons, from my understanding, for the separation of the policy and finance bill is so that we can have clarity and it avoids trading policy for revenue. And so perhaps Senator Lass can enlighten us as to why there's been an agreement to have both finance and policy together. And again, I have a follow-up, if you allow me, Mr. Chair.
Oh, yes, Senator Champion. Senator Lass, would you like to comment on that, please?
Sure. Very simple. This is a conference committee process, and the House came into this process with a lot of policy in their budget bill. The Senate did not have policy tied into our budget, but for a very few items that had money attached to them. But we had some separate standalone policies that were also Senate File 878, which was actually the omnibus policy bill from the Judiciary Committee. So in the course of working through the process, the compromise was struck in this conference committee to include certain policies in the recommendation for this conference committee to adopt, and not other policies, and to make some revenue adjustments as well to reflect the desires of the respective bodies.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chairman.
So if Senator Lass will continue with this line of questioning, or at least my engagement, because I do think it's important for the public to know exactly what's been going on and what's been happening. Senator Lass didn't deal with the policy position that the Senate has taken, which is to keep the budget separate and policy separate in order to avoid any trading for policy for revenue. And so can you speak to that and then speak much more specifically to whether there has been a trading of some policy for revenue that we will learn about in the bill here?
The Senate doesn't have any official rule or anything that addresses this question. Senator Champion, I have been very committed to separating out the policy from the budget portion for the reasons that you articulated. But as we work through the process, it became apparent that, at least in my judgment, that was not going to be a successful outcome to this conference committee, as I would have preferred to see the conference committee wrap up. So I can assure Senator Champion and all those who are observing this, that there were no explicit exchanges or promises of money in exchange for any particular policy provisions.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Champion.
Senator Latz, is that true? It's because it's my understanding that there was a decision that in order for the finance aspect of this bill to reflect certain money from certain transfers from the Men Corps fund as well as the fire safety fund, that it would require that it be a merging of the policy and finance bill. Now, am I mistaking there? And I just want to make sure that we all have an opportunity to exactly know what's going on, because there's some additional things that I'd like to do as a result of that. So can you speak to that, Senator Latz?
Yes. Senator Champion, or Mr. Chair, Senator Champion, there was an agreement between Representative Cornish and myself on behalf of the conference committee, and subject, of course, to approvals here tonight, that there would be policies that would be considered for inclusion in the conference committee report in return for adopting Senate revenue numbers, including certain sources of the revenue that enable the Senate, in particular, given some of our priorities that were different in funding certain areas from the House, to be able to more fully fund the priorities that I perceive to be the priorities of the Senate and the members of the conference committee from the Senate side. So there was not any agreement with regard to any particular policy provisions, whether to include them or not include them. Once we determined to engage in a review of the policies for possible inclusion in the bill, we went through each proposed policy provision item by item, as council or research will do shortly, and made individual determinations as to whether or not there was agreement to include them or to not include them. They included some policies that had only had an official position from the House, some that only had an official position from the Senate, some that had official positions from both bodies. But determinations as to which policies were included were made on an individual policy-by-policy basis, completely disconnected from the question of revenue or spending decisions.
Mr. Chair? Senator Latz, if you indicated, which I think you just said, that there was the agreement that there was going to be revenue provided to fund important financial considerations from the Senate, required us also to adopt some policy, and it's my understanding that's true, and that the parameters given was that there was going to be non-controversial policies, which you can define what that means, and then those things that are same and similar. But specifically, it indicated that you all would not look at, restore the vote would not be one of those policies that would be put on the table.
Mr. Chair and Senator Champion, there was not a specific agreement that there would be a determination of a level of controversy or non-controversy surrounding any particular policy in deciding which policies to recommend to the conference committee for inclusion in the final report. That was not part of the consideration. The House brought to the conference committee table a substantial list of policies, some of which were non-controversial, some of which were controversial. And similarly, the Senate had a number of policy provisions that were on the table in this conference committee by action of the full body of the Senate on Senate File 878, which is the specific legislative vehicle that is presented before us in this conference committee now, which had a number of policy provisions, in fact, a number of very controversial policy provisions. But there was no commitment made one way or the other with regard to any of those policy provisions, with the exception of one, which we had fought very vigorously for, I had fought very vigorously for, and I respectfully understand and know and admire what Senator Champion also has fought vigorously for, and others at this table and outside of this room as well. And that, of course, is the restore the vote. I have been working, I would say tirelessly, but in fact I was very tired for a good part of it, for the last several days in particular, as we were trying to, after the conference committee had been put together and we engaged in this process, to find a pathway by which Restore the Vote could be included in this conference committee report. Unfortunately, I finally reached the conclusion that I could not see any pathway for that to happen. I was very disappointed. It's an issue which I believe firmly and strongly. But I drew that conclusion. After I drew that conclusion, that there was no way that I could see, or that anyone else could tell me, to include the Restore the Vote policy provisions in this conference committee report, only then and after then did I engage in the question specifically with Chair Cornish or others as to whether we could find common ground on the revenue position that the Senate sought. And in so doing, the House indicated that they would agree to those revenue provisions if the Senate would agree to look at and include some to as yet be determined policy provisions as well.
Mr. Chair, Senator Letts, it is my understanding that as we look at the policy provisions that are going to be considered or that were to be considered, is that those policies that were both passed in the House and Senate, you did not look at in order, you did not look at through the lens of controversy, but you looked at it only whether they passed the House and or the Senate. The only provisions that you looked at, from my understanding, as to the level of controversy was if it was only a House provision or only a Senate provision, because one is in particular, and I'd like to know why you would agree to adopt, because it wouldn't require us to adopt the silencer provisions, which I will have a motion for that later, but the silencer provisions, which were very controversial, and we know that is NIA backed, it's okay, but they're very controversial. And it's my understanding from conversations with you is that provision, or those provisions, because it's two, were not looked at based on whether they were non-controversial or not, but was only looked at whether they were same and similar, and that was something that was a part of the agreement, is that if it was the same on both sides, then you would adopt it without looking at the controversial aspects of it. So that's one part of it.
Can I respond to that before you go on? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Champion, it sounds to me like you have misunderstood my previously made explanation to you prior to coming into this conference.
Well, how about correcting me then, Mr. Chair?
Senator Champion, as I already stated here tonight, and as I have told you before, there were no agreements with regard to the parameters or decision-making guides for which policy provisions would or would not be included in the conference committee report with regard to levels of controversy, whether they were House-only provisions, whether they were Senate-only provisions, or whether they had been adopted in the form of an official position by both bodies, meaning passed off the floor. We just didn't have those specific levels of discussions about how we would determine which policy provisions would or would not be included in this bill. As we worked our way through the policy provisions that were before this conference committee brought by both the House and the Senate, we used broad guidelines to consider, among other factors, whether or not there was an official House position, whether or not there was an official Senate position, whether or not the language was identical, or whether it was similar language, and in particular for those that only had a position in one body but not the other, whether or not it was considered to be controversial, or whether or not there seemed to be a consensus that there, from among the stakeholders and the participants in this process, that it would be, it could be included without any further legislative review. So that factor was considered, in particular for those that did not have an official position from both bodies. But for policies such as the suppressor provisions, there were official positions from both bodies passed off of the floor of the House and passed off of the floor of the Senate in favor of those provisions. And whether you, Senator Champion, favored those provisions individually or not is, I understand, a difficult position. They were part of an omnibus bill. There were a number of other provisions in that bill, and that's a hazard, frankly, of any omnibus bill that we have before the legislature. There are some provisions in there that one may disagree with or may not disagree with, and each legislator has to decide for him or herself whether or not, on balance, they prefer to vote for that bill or to vote against that bill. But the fact is, the Senate has an official position that is in support of the provisions that were in the omnibus bill under the jacket of Senate File 878. And frankly, the language between the House and the Senate were almost identical, not entirely. The House agreed to take the Senate position with regard to the language in all of the provisions that relate to firearms, including specifically the suppression provisions.
Mr. Chair? Senator Letts, if the suppressor bill was joined by the restore the vote provision that was in the omnibus bill, then how can you decide if it's controversial or not? Was the silencer bill controversial or not? Even though it may have passed off the Senate floor, was it controversial?
Mr. Chair,
Senator Letts,
Senator Champion, I would say it was controversial, but it passed with 41 votes for the omnibus bill off of the Senate floor as a part of the omnibus bill. And there were, there's lots of debate in the Senate, but as I already stated, whether or not a bill was controversial was only one factor in determining whether or not to recommend including it in this conference committee report. And in particular, it was a far more important factor with regard to bills that only had a position officially from one body of the legislature but not the others. The suppression pieces had positions officially from both bodies of this legislature. So, yes, it was controversial, but it also passed 41 to 19. So however vociferous the 19 who voted against it felt, or those who may have voted for the bill felt about one provision or another, is hard to determine, and I'm not in a position to make that determination, nor was I, did I feel I was in a position to defer to any particular person's level of controversy or passion about any particular issue. I looked at the first Senate vote. It's an official Senate position in favor of those provisions, and that was the basis for my recommendation as to what to include in this conference committee report.
One last question, Mr. Chair, before I sit back and allow us to go through the fiscal issues, and then I will reemerge at the appropriate time. Senator Letts, you know as well as I do that anything that comes off the Senate floor is a Senate position. And we, as the Senate, are supposed to fight for every single provision that comes off the Senate floor. That means even if there's an offer that comes, that we as conferees are supposed to talk about these policy provisions and not just an agreement that comes forth and someone says, here's what we have agreed to. And the reason for that is because we as conferees are supposed to be a part of the process. And even though the Senate position was that we were going to have a policy bill and a finance bill, and it's not a rule, but it is the Senate position. And the reason for the Senate position, as it has been articulated, is to avoid the very thing that we find ourselves doing right now, which is disguising our ability to get additional revenue in exchange for policy. And so, Senator Latt, I believe that it's unfortunate the place where we find ourselves, because this is a departure from the Senate policy, and that even though some others may have gotten together, and I'm very clear as to what you said as far as the parameters used in order to determine what information came forth, it was clear to us in the limited time that we did spend is that if we put forth restorative and or removed suppressors, that there would be no agreement and we will continue to go forward, and there was an element of concern around time. And I'm not quite sure, Senator Latt, that time should have been our guide as opposed to doing what's in the best interest of Minnesotans. And so with that, I believe it's unfortunate and that we are talking about 47,000 people whose lives are continuous, who will continue to be in flux. And so with that, I'd love for us to go through it, because then we'll have an opportunity for each person to vote. And when I do bring it up, I will ask for a roll call so that we can clearly understand where each member of our committee stands.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Champion, with all due respect, Senator Champion, I think you are conflating the term position of the Senate, using it in a couple of different ways. I've been using the term position of the Senate in terms of an official vote on the Senate floor in favor of or against any particular bill. And the position of the Senate, the official position, is in favor of restore the vote. It's also in favor of the suppression pieces policy provisions. There is no official position or policy of the Senate as an institution with regard to separating finance bills from policy bills. I'm not aware of any. If you know of a Senate rule or some official Senate action, or official Senate action, which you have said there's some kind of an official Senate policy or position with regard to that, I'd love to be made aware of it. But the fact is that there is no one who in the last week has fought any harder than I have for the Senate position on restore the vote. But the fact is, in conference committee and in this process, no matter how much we fight to adopt and prevail upon the House with a Senate position, compromise often happens. And you need the support of both bodies, House and Senate, in order to pass a bill into law. And it was quite apparent that at this time there was not sufficient support in the House to pass into law the restore the vote provisions. So what is in the best interests of Minnesotans, mm-hmm. or the state of Minnesota, encompasses a broader definition in my mind than simply, or only I should say, solely the passage or non-passage of the restore the vote provisions. In my judgment, subject to the confirmation ultimately of this conference committee, the best interest of Minnesotans also includes the ability to make substantial investments in crime prevention. The youth intervention programs in crime victim services to protect and aid victims, in a variety of other provisions in this budget bill that we are going to hear about. And it was my judgment and recommendation that being unable to prevail upon the House to pass into law to restore the vote, that we as a state, as a conference committee, could make substantial benefit for members of this state, and including those felons who are in the community but not able to vote, by making investments such as are included now in this budget before us, to the tune of an additional $4.5 million that we would not have been able to make without the agreement to consider policy inclusion along with the bill. So yes, I made a determination, and as I told the other members of this conference committee, I was confirmed in that determination that we will gain much as a state from utilizing the availability of that extra money to make the kind of investments that are in this bill. And I will back those investments as on balance worth the compromise with the House. And I should also note that we will be adopting many Senate policies, policy provisions that were passed by Senate authors, passed by the Senate as a whole, that would not have become law but for this agreement to include them in this bill. And as much as I do not like the idea of including policy in the finance bill, I have been moved by the needs of this particular circumstances, in my humble judgment, to do so today. And as a result, we will pass a number of bills into law that would not have become law this year at all. And we'll be able to make an additional $4.5 million of investment in a variety of important priorities. And yes, time is a factor here. There is no doubt about that. The Constitution imposes that limit upon us. Because if we don't pass a budget by the time that we're required to do so, then we have agencies in the state government that will not function. And that has also been made very clear. So I, Senator Champion, may have the luxury of not factoring that in or of balancing the priorities differently, but as the chair of this conference committee, I did not have that luxury. I had a responsibility to do my very best to find the bill that, on balance, I believed balanced the priorities that I thought were in the best interest of the state. And the bill that you have before you does that, in my judgment. You may disagree, that's just fine, but in my judgment, it does.
Mr. Chair, could you hold your comments until after the budget?
I got one more thing to say, Mr. Chair, if you will, because Senator Ladd's eloquence does not replace substance. And let me say this. It's been the position of the Senate, and in fact, you are a fiscal chair, that the word came down as the, from the fiscal chair, who says that we are not to mix policy and finance together. And that's why there was a deliberate steps taken in order to make sure that we did not mix policy and finance. That is a policy, whether you want to say it's a rule or not, that was articulated, and we were to function accordingly. Secondly, when it comes to the word compromise, I do not want us to dirty up the word compromise. I think compromise is good when it's done from the right place and space and with the right motivations. Yeah. And when you say best interest is not measured simply by your judgment. It is measured by others who are also around as well. And simply because you can say that you believe that you are making a substantial investment in OJP or anything else, of course we believe that to be important. Those things are important. But this is the very reason why the separation was put forward, is so that we would not be in a situation where we are saying, okay, in order to give this person money, we have to accept something that we do not think is the best thing to do. And yes, crime prevention is always important. And time, Mr. Chair, I believe that I have an election certificate as well. We all know that we all must leave here on May 18th, but there's also another provision in the law that's called a special session in the event that we don't get our work done. But the people of Minnesota called us to be deliberate and not just to rush things through and create additional blind spots simply because there is a time clock. And it reminds me of, and I hope that you will think about it, a movie called Indecent Proposal. And in the movie Indecent Proposal, someone says for the sake of money, because we were having a challenge, that they were willing to sacrifice, even in that movie, their spouse. And even though that it was with every good intention, just the fact that they were willing to sacrifice their spouse and the others just because in their judgment it was going to meet a financial outcome, I think is unfortunate.
Okay, let's get on with it. Mr. Walls, are you ready to run through the budget sheet?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I believe everyone is familiar with most of the provisions on the spreadsheet, so I will proceed as quickly as I can. Mr. Chair, starting on page 1, line 1, the Supreme Court, the Conference Committee has included salary and insurance increases, compensation for judges and staff at 4% and 4% each year. This will be similar through all the courts on the sheet. In civil legal services, we add $879,000 each year to the base. Moving to line 19, the Court of Appeals, again we include 4% and 4% compensation increases and insurance needs for the Court of Appeals. On line 28, in district courts, we include the 4% and 4% compensation. There was no inclusion of the juror reimbursement requests, and there is $350,000 each year for additional specialty court funding. Mr. Chair, that takes us to the top of page 2, the Guardian Ad Litem Board. The Conference Committee adds $2.96 million for employee salary and insurance needs of the Guardian Ad Litem. In the tax court, the committee includes salary requests, some mandated technology expenses, and a third law clerk at $85,000 per year. Mr. Chair, on line 61, the Uniform Laws Commission was granted their request for increased dues and travel costs. On line 68, the Board of Judicial Standards was given a half-time investigative attorney at $30,000 per year. Mr. Chair, moving down to line 75, the Public Defense Board, the caseload reduction line in line 78 was given $6.475 million. It's our estimate that this will result in additional roughly 36 public defenders. Also in line 80, $100,000 each year for public defender training, as well as their requests for salary and insurance increases. Moving to page 3, in line 84, sentencing guidelines receive their operating increases for salary and insurance. Mr. Chair, moving to line 91, public safety. The Conference Committee includes $1 million for the disaster contingency account. There's additional language that will provide an additional $15 million before the next forecast and some added language for fighting avian flu. On line 100, there's a $250,000 appropriation for anti-ISIS and Al-Shabaab recruitment. That is a one-time appropriation. And there is also additional money for CAT and HAZMAT teams and salaries and insurance. Mr. Chair, moving to line 109, the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. The Bureau received $11.4 million for all of their new investments that was requested by the governor. We also included money for salaries and insurance. Moving to the top of page 4 for the fire marshal, there are several amounts here that were spending increases from the fire safety account. There's additional language that provides the Commissioner of Public Safety to appropriate any additional money that flows in above the $10.2 million forecasted to be collected in 2015. For gambling enforcement, we provide, on line 146, we provide the salaries and insurance money. On line 158, the Office of Justice Programs, there are several additions here. For youth intervention programs, we include $750,000 each year. For crime victim services, $675,000 increase each year. Mr. Chair, on line 164, child advocacy centers, we included $400,000 each year. There is a slight error on the spreadsheet. There are dollars that were included to be permanent, and in the tails, those were omitted from the spreadsheet and will be corrected in the future. There's $100,000 each year for prosecutor law enforcement training, $250,000 each year for sex trafficking prevention grants, $300,000 each year for juvenile detention alternatives, $150,000 each year for victim support and crime and suicide survivors. There's $176,000 one time for a regional law enforcement server, $40,000 each year for Lifesaver Lost and Wandering grants on line 170, taking us to the top of page 5. On line 173, there's $100,000 each year for advocates for family peace, and that is a one-time appropriation. Mr. Chair, for line 181, the Department of Public Safety received all of their requests through the governor for the emergency communications networks, and that takes us down to line 200 for the Post Board. Post Board received its request for salaries and insurance, also received an operating increase on line 205 of $125,000 each year, and on line 207, $100,000 each year for crisis de-escalation training grants. Mr. Chair, on line 211, the Private Detectives Board received their salary and insurance request, as well as $65,000 per year for an additional part-time assistant. Mr. Chair, moving to the Human Rights Department, there was no reduction to this agency. There was a grant for their salary and insurance request, as well as a slight base increase of $150,000 a year that I think will cover some bilingual representatives to help with the Human Rights Department. On line 229, the Department of Corrections, the Fugitive Apprehension Unit was given $1.6 million. This was the governor's request. On line 240, $30,000 each year, a one-time request for doula services at Shakopee and County Jails. And Mr. Chair, on line 243, we included funding for health insurance for permanently disabled employees. Moving down to line 247, Community Services, there was an additional $1 million for a year for intensive supervised release agents, $250,000 a year for challenge incarceration grants, $1.8 million added to the base for the CCA formula, $294,000 in '16 and $295,000 in '17 for CPO County formula, and $85,000 a year for Scott County caseload workload grant. Mr. Chair, moving to the top of page 7 in operation support, the agency received its salary and insurance costs, as well as $500,000 a year for additional IT staffing. Moving down to line 279, the revenue effects, we show the loss to the general fund on 281 and 282 for additional spending in the Post Board. There was the inclusion of a civil court filing fee for the discharge of judgments, and there's a slight revenue loss on line 284. And we have the one-time transfers on line 285 from the MinCorps account to the general fund, on 286 for the fire safety account, and there's language to repay the transfer in the fire safety account before the next forecast. And Mr. Chair, that completes the spreadsheet.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. We'd like to ask all the questions. You know, we don't really want to take public testimony tonight unless you have a dying need for a lifeline of information or a question. But we'll take questions on the budget sheet from members here. Representative Houston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one question. Mr. Chair, there's been 4 and 4 for all of the judges and their staff, and then I noticed for the tax court, it's 4 and 4 and 4 and 3, or 3 and 3 for the staff. Was that the request? Or is it a typo on the sheet, or I'm just trying to get a sense of line 55, it says judges 4 and 4, staff 3 and 3.
Representative Hillstrom, could you want to give us a short answer?
Our employees are not part of the judicial branch, so their salary increases.
You better give them a name for the record.
Joanne Turner, Chief Judge of the Tax Court. Because our employees are part of the executive branch, they would get the same raises as the executive branch employees, not judicial branch.
Perfect.
Okay. Any other questions? I just want to make sure you get an answer because I want to release Mr. Walsh to go up and start printing. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, on line 256, the Scott County caseload grant, I remember the committee was just supposed to be a one-time to get them back up and back into the system with the rest of the others. Do they change from one type of extraction program to the other? And I see it's going into the tails as well.
Right, that was a real one. Mr. Walsh, I believe that was read as a one-time.
Mr. Chair, my understanding of this was when Scott County made the decision to switch from a CPO county to a CCA county, they were going to lose $85,000 a year. This was to replace that loss permanently.
Mr. Irving, you were going to...
Mr. Chair, members Ryan and Minnesota Association of Community Corrections Act counties, this was intended to be an ongoing appropriation. It doesn't look back, it doesn't look at the 10 years of them being short and repaying of that, but it brings them up to level and then goes on forward so that they're square for the...
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, your chair isn't always right. Now, other questions? Okay, if there's no more question on the budget sheet, Mr. Wells, you want to... Or work, just a second. That should be a mess. We'd like to adopt the budget sheet now as part of the committee conference report, and then we'll take up the policy later, unless anybody has any objections.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move adoption of the spreadsheet.
Senator Lance moves adoption of the spreadsheet as part of our final conference report. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Walls. Now, research is going to give a heading and a brief description of each. And Senator Champion, could you wait till the end and come back to when we actually move or vote on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Diebel, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll be working off of the document entitled Senate File 878 in Conference Committee Agreement on Policy. I'll move through the provisions quickly. Starting with Article 2 on page 1, the ITV provisions are identical. They are included. Parental rights for sexual assault victims. Committee has adopted the Senate position, which is to not include that language. Court reporting disclosure requirements is a House position, which is included in the agreement. Interest on verdicts is not included. That's adopting the Senate position. Moving to Article 3, Safe Harbor Address Protection, House position is included in the agreement. Moving to the next line, hunting license revocation, which is part of the suppressor language. The Senate version of that is included. Along with the next line, the suppressor legalized is also included as brought into the committee from the Senate. Bondsman vehicle colors and uniform, those provisions are Senate only but are included in the agreement. The APS repeal related to scrap metal is included in the agreement with the House position including one amendment. The Youth Intervention Program Association language is included with the House language. The DPS technical bill is identical and included in the agreement. The ammunition provisions from the Senate are included. The next two sections relate to firearms provisions, and they are identical in both the House and Senate and are included. The Senate straw purchase provision for firearms is included. The permit to carry from other states, which language related to recognizing other states, is identical and included. The authority to seize firearms is regulated, is identical in both bills and is included. The provision on drones is a Senate-only provision and is not included. The provision on requiring outside investigation of law enforcement incidents related to lethal force was not included. That was a Senate-only provision. The blue alert provision is included, but adopts the Senate language. And then finally, in Article 3, the report on untested sexual assault kits is similar language, but the Senate position is included in the agreement. Moving to page 2, Article 4, volunteer firefighters and wage and payroll provisions. That's the House position and that is included. The fire safety account statutory modification is identical and included in the agreement. The standalone provision on firefighter terms and compensation is a Senate-only position but included in the agreement. Same with the chief firefighter officer rank, a Senate position that is included in the agreement. And amend a series of provisions on firefighter licensing, which are identical in both bodies and included. And finally, an additional provision that is only set and only related to firefighter licensing, and that is also included. Moving to Article 5, corrections. The provision on injured security hospital employees, continued insurance coverage is a House position and included. The provisions on incarcerated pregnant women are included. The provisions on Colton's Law are included in the House version. And then the provisions modifying the CCA formula are identical and included. Moving to Article 6, general crime. The safe at home default penalty misdemeanor is a center only position and included in the agreement. The sex trafficking bill provisions are included with the Senate version. The reckless driving enhanced penalty is included in this, to adopting the House language. Lowering the BAC to 0.16 is identical in both bills and included. Additional provisions related to DWI and an ignition air lock are Senate-only provisions, and they are not included. The implied consent necessity defense language is included with the House language. The bill on non-consensual videos in restrooms is not included, adopting the Senate position on that. Criminal vehicular homicide, increasing the penalties, the House-only provision is not included. Assaults on in medical institutions, a House-only provision is not included. Criminal sexual conduct and alteration by bodily adulteration by bodily fluid, that needs to be amended on the sheet, is adopted but using the Senate language. The House-only provision on impersonating an officer is not included. Financial exploitation of vulnerable adults related to forfeiture is the House-only position and is included. The proposal of a new arson offense, as brought into the conference by House, is not included. The provision on criminal defamation is a House-only provision and is not included in the agreement. And finally, in Article 6, the general default penalty, shifting it to a petty misdemeanor, is a Senate-only position but included in the agreement. Shifting to page 3 of the document in Article 7, disaster assistance, the bulk of the article is identical and included. The loan House-only provision relating to utility co-ops is not included in the agreement. Shifting to Article 8, the two bodies have identical language on controlled substances, and that article is included in the agreement. Finally, the standalone Senate Articles 2, 3, and 4 are not included in the agreement.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, is there any questions on this before we get into actual amendments or any recommendations from that? Okay, Record Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I noticed the ABS repeal, it's the House position with an amendment.
Can you repeat that?
So the ABS repeal is the House position with an amendment. What is the amendment?
I think we've got to address that, then.
It's just a technical.
Curious.
Mr. Chair and members, in statute there's an annual scrap metal dealer registration with DPS, and that was in past legislation set to expire when APS went into effect, and now the APS will be repealed. This amendment is deleting that expiration date, so it allows the registration to continue. It was something that was missed in the original bill draft.
Okay. Other questions on the... No. Senator Champion.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, it is my understanding in Article 3 under Public Safety, lines 2 and 3, that therein lies the NRA provisions, I am making a motion to remove them. Should I do them separately or should I do them together? I like to remove line 2 and line 3
under Article 3, which would be the suppressor bills that are supported by the NRA, but also opposed. Those are opposed by law enforcement, I know, especially in the city of Minneapolis, mainly because, one is because it also impacts spotters, and there's some other challenges and concerns that one would have about that. So with that, I would like to, my motion is to delete lines 2 and 3, and I ask for a roll call.
Senator Champion moves to remove the provisions on your sheet on hunting license revocation suppressor and suppressors legalized. Those two items, is that correct, Senator Champion?
Yes, sir.
And whether Senator Champion asks for a roll call, there will be one. And
Mr. Valley.
For the roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going to look around and see if there's any more. Okay, Mr. Gottlieb, you take the roll call.
Representative Cornish.
No.
Senator Latz.
No.
Senator Champion.
Yes.
Senator Dibble.
Yes.
Senator Eaton.
No.
Representative Hertas.
No.
Representative Hillstrom.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Lohmer?
No.
Senator Sundin?
Nope.
8 to 2 in favor of the nays.
Okay, the motion fails. Other questions on the body of the language?
Mr. Chair,
Senator Champion.
Lastly, I make a motion to remove all of the policy language from this bill, because from the Senate's perspective, at least I believe from the Senate's perspective, what has been articulated by the Finance Chair and others is that we try not to, no pun intended when I said shoot, but we try not to mix policy and finance. So that would be my motion, and I would like a roll call.
Okay. Senator Champion, I acknowledge your motion, but it is a little confusing for the House because we went back and we can't remember many bills that we worked with the Senate that didn't have policy mixed with finance. And it must be a new rule this year, and it was one that really slowed things up. And then on my understanding that other committees are, conference committees are mixing now policy with finance and talking about the same. So whatever happened, I don't know, but I was talking to Representative Hillstrom, who's been here longer than I have, and I've been here 13 years, and I have remembered many times when we've had policy and finance. But I acknowledge your motion, and did you want a roll call, or did you?
Yes, I'd like a roll call, and if I might, Mr. Chair, say that that's been our position, that's what we've been talking about all year, especially in the Senate, and I think that it just makes the bills cleaner. I think the policy language should be able to rise and fall on its own and not necessarily be attached to the finance language in order to put additional pressure on the executive branch or others by which to pass this bill.
Thank you, Senator Champion. And Senator Champion moves to remove the policy from the conference report. And with that motion, Mr. Gottlieb, you take the roll call.
Representative Cornish?
No.
Senator Latz?
No.
Senator Champion?
Yes.
Senator Dibble?
No.
Senator Eaton?
No.
Representative Hertas?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Lohmer?
No.
Senator Sundin?
No.
The nays have it, 9-1.
Okay, other comments on the bill with the both the language and the finance questions? If not, I just wanted to thank all the staff, and last time I forgot two people's names, so I'm just going to say the staff. It's been a hoot, and we've had a lot of fun. It went amazingly well. Actually, we the bills say some people call controversial, like Representative Champion and I, or Senator Champion and I. I know the license plate reader bill went off the House the other day, 126-3, and the papers called it highly controversial. The silencer bill went off of the floor of the House, I think, with 89 votes bipartisan, and they said it overwhelmingly passed bipartisan, but yet some people call it very controversial. So I agree that some people's definition of controversial and or non-controversial or bipartisan, sometimes they call it bipartisan with one vote from the other party. So the definitions, I guess, are all over the board. But thank you, staff and members, for putting this together. Hopefully we'll get going on it, and I don't know if we're going to get it onto the House floor yet tonight or early tomorrow morning, but
we
did adjourn. Oh, great. And so with that, Senator Lance, I'm sorry.
I too want to express my appreciation to staff and to the members of the conference committee who've worked so hard on putting all this together. I want to note that this bill, I think, is a very good bill in total. And I want to highlight a couple of provisions, funding provisions in particular, that I want to call the body's attention. The public defender appropriation came in from the Senate at about $5,446,000, and the conference committee report is about $1 million higher. Youth intervention is about $700,000 higher than the original Senate position, and it's $1,500,000 higher than the original House position. Crime Victim Services is $550,000 higher than the original Senate position. Children's Advocacy Centers is $600,000 higher than the original Senate position, $700,000 higher than the original House position. Juvenile Defense Alternatives Initiatives is $400,000 higher than the original Senate position, $500,000 higher than the original House position. Victim Support and Suicide Survivors Assistance is up $300,000 from the original Senate position. If you look at the Department of Human Rights, it came into this in the House position, about a $600,000 cut to their base. Now increase the cops report with a $300,000 increase to the base, so their position improved $900,000. CCA counties improved their position by $500,000, and the CPO counties by $189,000. That adds up to a little over $5 million in improved positions for these particular line items. And I want to express my appreciation that the funding was available to accomplish those increases for all of those lines in particular.
Thank you, Senator Lance. One thing that I forgot to do was in the firearms article, there's an article in there on ammunition, and we inadvertently, by the definition of ammunition, included things like inoperable keychains or earrings with a bullet on them. And if it's okay with the committee, what I'd like to do is direct staff to do the technical work before we sign the report and include it. We've done things like that before. Just adopt the report with the understanding it's going to be fixed. And if anybody got any questions about it, since it is ammunition, you can sure ask. But it's our intention, inoperable ammunition, to fix that so people can still wear it for earrings, or sometimes they even put it on their lapels. So with that understanding,
Sure.
Yes. Sure.
Is there anybody in the room that can give us any estimate as to when the bill might be ready? Is it the nearest day, for instance?
I doubt it.
Okay, that's fine. If there's not, that's fine, Mr. Chair.
I bet you it'll be ready by morning sometime.
Yes. Mr. Chair.
As long as we're ahead of HHS.
We would like to move the bill.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to say that Mike had previously said we might have to be in as early as 9:30 or 10 to sign it.
Well,
not anymore?
I don't think that early.
Or 12 maybe?
No.
Well, if our conferees could just watch their phones and their email in the morning, and so we can, you know, gather us all up for signatures, that would be great. All right, with that.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the bill if you'd like, unless you want Senator Latz to move it.
Okay. What's that say again?
I said I'd move the bill if you'd like me to, otherwise, unless you want Senator Latz to move it.
Okay. Representative Hillstrom moves the conference committee report to include the fiscal and the policy, along with the understanding that the technical definition or fix on the ornamental ammo will be structured by staff and approved by Senator Latz and I. And with that understanding, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay, motion carried. Thank you very much. I'm adjourned.
All right.